Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
It's, tell you what, being a parent is a never dull moment. I have to laugh. My boy is almost four, David. I really don't know where he gets this, but I don't think it's from me. But in any case, sometimes he just decides on a morning like today, he comes to us, he says he wants to wear a hat, gloves, and boots, and his sunglasses. That's what he wants to have, everything, all the accessories. And then it's a big drama because he has to find his little gloves. And I told him, listen, this is not England. This is summer. This winter is it's just in the morning. Once the sun is up, then it's not winter anymore. In any case, so he had and gloves and boots and obviously the sunglasses for probably the cool factor. He says he wants to look cool. In any case, so there you have it. He's organized for the day. He couldn't find it the right hat to wear, so now he's wearing one of mine. And, Lord protect him if he loses it. But if you see him running around like that, in any case, it's a privilege to share the word this morning. And let's just pray briefly. Father, we just commit this time in your word to you, Lord. We thank you that your word is not just a document, Lord, or an ancient document, Lord, but thank you that your word is alive and powerful. And Holy Spirit, Lord, we choose, Lord, to submit ourselves to you, Lord, as our teacher. Lord, we are here with an expectation to be changed and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And we trust, Lord, even through everything that happens here in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, that your name be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I want us to look at Joshua chapter 6. I'm going to try and be brief. We started a bit late this morning, and I'll try and be brief. What we see here is a really exciting time in the history of the nation of Israel. They have been doing laps in the desert for 40 years, which wasn't so exciting, although there's amazing stuff that happened there. But now it's a new season. It's a new dispensation. You know, there's a new leader, Joshua. They've crossed the Jordan already, where the Lord did an incredible miracle to get them through the Jordan. The last time they came to the Jordan, they missed out on the promise of God. 40 years before this, they came up to the Jordan and they sent out the guys to have a look, the spies. 10 of the guys said, no ways, guys, these are giants, we're never going to make it, they're going to squash us. Two of the guys, Joshua and Caleb, said, listen, God is for us, let's do this. And then the next day, so basically they were fearful and they didn't want to do what God was laying on it, what was directing them to do. And the next day they changed their minds. And that the Lord says, no, let's just get rid of this fearful stuff. In any case, so they did 40 years in the desert. This is a new generation. This is a new leader. And they crossed the Jordan with an incredible miracle. And now they're facing their first big obstacle. Because God has given the promise, right? The promised land. They've seen the miracles. They've seen Him be faithful. But between the promise of God and the actual promise, possessing the promise, there's always some big problems and obstacles in the way. There's most of the, you know, a lot of the promises of God have a premise with them. So there's a premise. We like to quote the blessing scriptures, right? Like Deuteronomy 28, there's a whole bunch of incredible blessings, but we don't want to read what comes before them, because it says, if you do this, then Well, if you follow me, or if you, you know, then there's a list of blessings that come. In any case, so there's a premise, but also there's an obstacle, there's a challenge, there's a problem between you and I and the promise of God. Although God has promised it, it doesn't mean we have possessed it. Are you with me? And yes, we see the promise, we get these books that have all the promises in the Bible in them, and that's a credible and amazing blessing, and we want to take a hold of them, but we have to recognize that between us possessing the promise and between God's promising and us possessing the promise, there's something there that we need to get our heads around a bit and our hearts around a bit. So let's have a look at this scripture briefly. Because they stood now before Jericho. Now Jericho is not a massive city, but it was incredibly well defended. Very high walls, known for its defenses. Apparently it would take about an hour to go to walk around it. So not huge, but incredibly well secured and defended. And this was now their obstacle, the first city that they had to take. Kind of the make or break situation here. Now, let's read from verse 1. Now, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor." Let's just pause there for a moment. Now, some of us will get confused here because God is speaking in the past tense. He's talking about something that he has already given to them. But the walls are still there. The situation hasn't changed. The challenges are the same. But God says, in the past tense, "I have given you the city." Often, this is already where this is where faith comes in. We say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to take you on your word. There is a massive city, there are massive walls, there's lots of stuff that has to happen, but I know that God has already given us the city." Okay? He's promised, he's already speaking in the past tense. But then he says how it's going to happen. He says, "You shall march around the city, all your men of war," the family stay behind, the men of war get out. "You shall go all around the city once, and this you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear the 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat." So it gives quite specific instructions, but it gives us these instructions to Joshua. Okay? And they go from there, and they follow the instructions. But now, I want us to have look at a few things around these instructions that they received, and around what happened. Because often, we receive the promise of God, and we hear some direction that God gives us, but there's often a place where we stop short of the promise. What happened to the Israelites the previous time? They came up to the Jordan, they had the promise, they saw the land, but something came in the way of them possessing the land. Okay, now this time they've crossed the Jordan, so they're one step further. But what are the things that come between us and actually possessing? What are the things that sometimes make us or cause us to stop short of the promise and of possessing it? And what's interesting here, if you think about this whole process that the guys had to go through, you know, having been in the defense forces a little while myself, if you think about a soldier preparing for a big battle, right? These guys have been cycling themselves up for a couple of years. They're the new generation. They're the men of war. They're facing the city now. They're ready, right? So Joshua says, "Listen, guys, going to go up to Jericho," and the guys already, you know, their swords are sharp. They're going to do this thing. And he says, "We're going to walk around the city and come back." Okay? And they're like, "Okay, this is interesting." But can you imagine them guys going out as warriors, walking around the city? They had to be dead quiet as well. They couldn't really make a big noise. They had to be quiet, just walk. coming back home that afternoon, and then maybe your wife asks, how was it? How did it go today? You know, did you defeat the enemy? Yeah, actually, we just took a walk. Just walked around. And the challenge here is when we're pursuing the purpose of God, we're pursuing His kingdom, and we're pursuing His promise, often the instructions we get, and often there's stuff that is, as God directs us, that doesn't really make sense to us. And, you know, it's, in this case, it wasn't just one day. It was six days. Can you imagine that? You know, having to do something that doesn't make any sense, not only one day. You know, I think maybe one day they could have said, listen, we're just checking it out. We're really just scouting out the place. We're checking out the walls. But at the sixth day, surely it must have been a challenge, thinking, what on earth are we doing? So one of the first things that gets us to stop short of the promise of God is that we lose godly perspective. We lose sight of what God has held before us, and we lose sight of the directions He's given us, and somewhere we lose sight of Him as well. Let's quickly look at Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And it is when we lose sight of Him, if we go back, I don't know if you can go back a few to the original picture, the original draw, when we lose sight of the summit. So if you think of us climbing a mountain, or, you know, have you ever climbed a mountain where it's similar to this, where you, over that first little bump, you lose sight of the summit. You can't see it anymore. It's a bit weird, because you're climbing, really, you're doing a lot of hard work. You can't see the summit. It looks like you've made some progress, but you can't see the summit anymore. And then when you just come over that little first little crest, for instance, then you think, maybe this is it, you know, we can see the... And then you reckon, I'm only a third of the way there. But when we lose sight of the promise, of the summit. Now, the summit is not necessarily the next breakthrough or the next provision. But for us, pursuing His kingdom, the summit is eternal, is that eternal destiny that we have. So it's not only the thing, the process of getting there. There's a lot of summits along the way, but there's an ultimate destination, an ultimate place where we meet Him face to face, and that often is, you know, that should be our eternal destiny, should be at the our summit, that we shouldn't keep lose sight of, and more specifically Jesus, that we shouldn't lose sight of. Now Emily, our little one, she's turning 2 in November. If you haven't met her, do yourself a favor. She's the cutest thing on two legs at the moment. But she's got this really beautiful little run. Now, I can't do it properly, but she the one arm is a bit like this, and the other one is like this, and then she really goes for it, you know? And she has this way of responding quite well when you call her, which is really heartwarming for a dad, you know? And she comes running like this, and she's beaming, you know, like smiling, beautiful. And then something will catch her eye. And she'll go like this. And she'll make a 90, you're like, yay, you know. And she'll make it literally 90 degree turn, and she'll run in a different direction. Because there's something better now. There's like a dog or a toy or something to eat that has caught her eye. And she'll just go like this, and she'll boom, just go on a different direction. We were at a park yesterday. Her birthday, and she saw a dog, and she ran down to go and see the dog, just left us all behind, like 100, what, I don't know how many meters down. She was going for the dog, and then suddenly her eye caught a little pink tent that was part of a different party. And she just changed direction. She was gunning for the dog, and then she just turned, and she went for the... I'm thinking, aren't we like that often? We know where we need to go. We heard the voice of God. We've heard the instruction, and we're running for it. And then suddenly something catches our eye, or something distracts us. And when we see again, we find ourselves going in a completely different direction. So important for us to keep our eyes on Him. And specifically if it's tough, if it's a challenging situation, so important for us to keep our eyes fixed on Him. So when we are getting distracted, and when our perspective... Now the problem is the enemy throws problems at us and challenges at us and trials and stuff at us to try and get up for us to lose our godly perspective. But you know what gets us back is when we praise. Praise restores our perspective because it puts God where He needs to be in our sight and over everything else. Does that make sense? Praise restores that godly perspective. Okay. Secondly, when it feels like we're going nowhere slowly. Have you heard that phrase? Going nowhere slowly. When it feels like you're making no progress, and you're doing something and you're trying to be obedient to God, that it feels like the progress is no noticeable progress that you're making. Now, if you think about these guys going around the city every day for 6 days, I heard somebody minister on this the other day, a guy from Elevation Church, and it really struck me. If you wanted to really motivate the guys, if God wanted to really motivate the guys going around the city, maybe that you should have let a few bricks fall down the first day, don't you think? Just a few cracks in the wall or something, just so the guys can think, yeah, you know, the Lord, there's something happening, let's do this, let's walk. There was nothing for 6 days, nothing, just the city, just taking a walk around the city. No thunder and lightning, no cracks in the wall, no bricks falling, just us taking a walk. And when there's no visible progress, it makes it really difficult for us. Don't you think so? But that's the challenge that we face, is will you and I continue to be obedient to God even when it doesn't work? The thing is, the guys that were doing the walking didn't know about the 6 days. The guys were doing, and often we don't know how many laps we're going to be doing. We hear something from God, and if you, me, you know, you do the first lap full of faith, full of, yes, let's do this, God has spoken, I'm sure I heard the voice of God. By the end of the first lap, you're thinking, did I hear God correctly then? Because nothing happened. It's not working. This tithing thing, I've tithed now last month, and I don't know if it's working. Well, this I'm really being faithful in this job. It's really a tough one. There's a tough situation at work. I'm really honoring my boss and I'm being faithful, but it's not working. I don't see immediate results. I don't see cracks in the wall. There are no bricks falling. And we start to wonder and we start to get discouraged and we're thinking, did we hear right? Maybe by lap three, it must have been really challenging. Why are we doing this again? What are we here for? I forgot my sword today. Because, you know, if the warriors, maybe they left their weapons behind on this third day, just to make it a bit of a lighter walk. But the challenge is, will you and I continue to be obedient to the voice of God, even if it doesn't seem to work? Even if the challenges are still there, the situation is still the same, nothing seems to change, I can't see any progress, will we still be obedient to what He's telling us to do? Will we persevere? Maybe there's a tough situation in your marriage, or you've heard from God and you you're serving your spouse and you're loving them and you're doing everything that you feel God is saying, but it's not doesn't seem to work. Will you continue to be faithful? Will we continue to be faithful in our tithing even when it is tough financially, even when it doesn't seem to, when there's no immediate result? That's the challenge. Okay. Now, one of the keys here is that if you look at Scripture, often we see it, that God, in this, if you look at this scenario, what is the responsibility of the soldiers here, the warriors? Their responsibility is to walk. What's God's responsibility? His responsibility, his commitment is to bring the walls down. Amen? And it's important for us to make that distinction. What is my role? Yeah. My role is to tithe. My role is to be faithful. My role is to walk in obedience to what God is saying. God's role is to provide and to bring the walls down, to bring the breakthrough, to build his church. Even in ministry is a place where we want to go into. Let's just make a better plan. Oh, surely there's a better plan to get this city than to just walk around it. Surely there must be a better strategy. But God's role is to build his church and to bring the walls down. Our role is to move in obedience to him. Are you with me this morning? Okay. So will we continue to be obedient? Will we continue to be faithful? When we've prayed about something and there seems to be no change, will we continue to pray? Will we just say, listen, prayer doesn't work? Imagine if we got an answer to prayer every time the moment we pray, the moment we say amen. Hey? I think we'd be praying a lot more, hey guys? But prayer doesn't always work like that. God's answer to prayer. It's amazing that example in Daniel, where Daniel was praying and fasting. And only 3 weeks later did the angel get to him. But then the angel said to him, listen, the moment you started praying, the Lord dispatched me. His answer was dispatched the moment he started praying. But there was a battle in the spirit that took 3 weeks. So it's not like God isn't hearing. It's not like God isn't responding always. But there's always a challenge between us to persevering and keeping on praying, keeping on trusting God, even when we don't get an immediate response. Okay, let's go on. Let's read Romans 5. Sorry. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And the hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now guys, we don't want to hear this. Why does it have to be all these things? These trials and tribulations and then perseverance and then character. Don't you like it when somebody tells you, oh, God is building your character? Well, no, we don't want to hear that. No, I don't want to hear that. That's not encouraging. Don't worry, God's just building your character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint. Let's keep on pressing in. Amen. Okay, now the other thing that really gets to us is the open-ended. It feels open-ended, this journey, this process that God takes us on. It feels like there's no end in sight. I don't know if you've driven a long distance with a toddler in the car. Or if you can remember yourself at that age, we used to say, "Hoe ver nog?" You know, or "Are we there yet?" That one. David literally, I think he recognizes that if we go onto the highway, he knows it's going to be far. But often we come to church, we just have like a few kilometers on the highway, and then immediately when we go on the highway, he says, "Oh, why is it going to take so long?" And it's just literally, maybe just the next off-ramp, but the moment he sees the highway, he goes, oh, this is taking so long. When are we going to be there? Are we there yet? Let's look at Hebrews 10. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. When we're doing laps, and it feels like the laps are just continuing, we don't know how many times we're still going to be coming around, it's tough to continue. But God says, you have the need for of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And the process that's happening in us, and that process that God is more interested in, is he will organize the outcome, but the process is important. As our job to obey is key. And then he says, yeah, after we've done the will of God. Now, I believe that process of us doing laps is such a key time for God doing amazing stuff in us. Amen. Working in us. If after the first lap happened and the guys were walking, and have you ever seen guys march properly? It's actually quite impressive. You know, if guys are in time and they're marching and they're doing the thing, maybe there would have been a temptation for them to think, you know what, we did this thing, and when we marched there and we shouted and the walls came down, and yes, it was just, we did this thing. But after 6 days with nothing happening, surely you're going to know this is God when the walls do come down. Surely they're going to recognize there's nothing that we have done here. This is only God. And more than that, yeah, that process of doing laps, that process of us persevering, that process of us continuing to be obedient, what's happening there is God is preparing your and my heart so that we are able to receive the promise. So that we are able to receive the blessing or the breakthrough or the souls that are being saved, the disciples that we have to make. That is part of that reward that as we persevere. But without that process, are we able to receive it in a godly way? Are we able to receive it that it will still be a blessing? Have you ever heard people often say that we end up worshipping the blessing instead of the blessor, the person the God of the blessing? So this process is key, so that when we do receive the promise, there's no temptation for us to worship the blessing or saying, yes, you know what, this is our doing. We pursue Him and we keep our eyes on Him. So the open-ended process is a challenge. I want us to read something that Francis Chan wrote in terms of us pursuing His will and of us wanting to, you know, to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, wanting to really pursue Him. This is from the book, The Forgotten God. So it says, if you say that you want the Holy Spirit, which we say, you know, we're charismatic, we want the gifts of the Spirit, we want to do the things of the Spirit. He says, if you say you want the Holy Spirit, you must first honestly ask yourself if you want to do His will. Because if you do not genuinely want to know and do His will, why should you ask for His presence at all? Challenging. If you decide to you do want to know His will, therefore, there will be moments when you have to let go of the fear of what that might mean. When you have to release your grip of control on your life and decide to be led, come what may. Decide to keep going. Decide to keep doing laps. Decide to keep being obedient. Decide to say, okay, I'm not in charge here. I will follow. I will keep being obedient to what God is saying. But I feel, Rob was reading this book and he showed us this quote, and I feel this is for us as church. If we're pursuing the presence of the Holy Spirit and we're pursuing His gifts and we want to operate in the power of God, first we need to ask ourselves, do we want to do His will? Because that's what all that Holy Spirit is about, is God's glory and His kingdom and His purpose. So we're doing laps and we're letting go of the fear and we're letting go of control. But before that, we need to decide, yes, you know what, God, I want you in my life and I want to keep pursuing your will. And but because I'm pursuing your will and your purpose, I need Holy Spirit in my life. Amen? Are you with me? Okay. Part of the open-ended bit is the challenge there is our emotions want to get in the way. Our head wants to get in the way. I love how David, when you see in the Psalms, how we can see that David understood that he's made of three parts. You know, we're made of spirit, which is we are created in God's image, and God is spirit, so we are spirit primarily. We have a soul, and we live in a body, and it's important for us to understand that we are three parts to us, and these three parts aren't always in agreement, right? And it's so powerful for me to see in Scripture when David speaks to his soul and say, "Be still, my soul." So who's speaking there? It's not his head. It's from his spirit. He's addressing his soul and he's saying, "Listen, you need to be still now. You need to hope in God." And furthermore, the soul needs to be in charge of it needs to be in charge of the body, and the spirit in charge of the soul. If that stuff is turned upside down, things go pear-shaped, right? If the body is in charge, or if the soul's in charge, the emotions go up and down, the this and that, and the one day it's great, and the next day it's not great. That's so why we need to live from a place of the Spirit. And when it's open-ended and we keep doing laps, if the soul is in charge, or the body, for that matter, body's going to say, "Well, this is a waste of time." The soul's going to get discouraged and depressed. I've seen this route. Can't we just do another route, or this isn't working? But if the Spirit is in charge, if the Spirit is in control, led by the Holy Spirit, then there's a place where we can say, "Listen, soul, be still now. Hope in God. I will yet praise Him." Amen. We will continue to persevere because God is faithful. We've seen it. And then we have to remind your soul, "Listen, remember that and that and those times where God was faithful." Remind your soul, chill out. You can relax. God will bring the walls down. You will win the victory for us. You will bring the breakthrough. Amen. Okay. Let's close with Psalm 126. "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." So I want us to end with bringing this into the context of us pursuing the will of God in His kingdom. The summit being the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we see Him face to face. Our hearts pursuing Christ. And as we pursue Christ and His will, there's no way for us to do anything else than pursue His will in terms of His building His church, seeing people come to Christ. And yes, there are tears. There are tough times, there are trials, and there are tribulations. And people will let us down, and there will be valleys, and there will be times when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, and there will be hard times. But the reward of bringing the harvest is an eternal one. There are lots of other rewards that we have, maybe temporal ones, but the rewards of souls that we can take with us into eternity. That's where the joy will come. Amen. When we say, "Yes, God, yes, I will pursue, I will do the laps so that we can see you win the victory so that your kingdom can come in my life and through my life. Not only for my own breakthrough, not only for my own blessing, but primarily so that your kingdom can come. So that your will come down. So that you will give us the city, the souls, the families, children, so that they can know you, so that they can walk in the fullness of your blessing." Amen. Let's stand this morning. You know, when the soul is in charge, we tend to talk ourselves out of it. You know, you talk yourself out of the promise. if there's no results, if there's no progress, the soul starts to make the sums and say, listen, this isn't working. Tithing isn't working for me. Have you heard that people say, this church doesn't work for me? Or, I've tried this Jesus thing, it's not for me. Sometimes people say to me, they've got an issue with God. Well, I want to say to them, listen, I don't think so. I don't think you have an issue with God. Because if you really knew him, you would have no issue with him. So you have an issue with somebody, something or something that you think is God, but it's not God. Because you don't, if you know him, you will have no issue with God. You will have no offense with God if you know him. Amen? But if we allow our soul to be in charge, we tend to talk ourselves out of sticking it out of being obedient. When we walk in the Spirit, we allow Holy Spirit to encourage us and to build us up and to exhort us. Then we are able to say, Lord, I choose to fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I choose to keep my eyes focused on him. You know, when Peter stepped out of the boat, responded to Jesus' call. Everything was going well. He was walking on water. Amen. But when the waves were big, he did the Emily. You know, he's then things went pear-shaped. At the moment, he put his eyes back on Christ. He called out to him. He was fine again. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, thank you that you know every heart in this place. Thank you that you know every person. You know the challenges that we are facing, Lord. You know the ones that have been doing laps for many years. And maybe there's some this morning that are about to give up. But thank you, Lord, for new hope in Jesus' name. Thank you for new hope. That you want to breathe new hope into every heart in this place. That we won't stop on lap 6 or 5 or 6.5, Lord, but that we would continue until we see the walls come down in Jesus' name. I figure there's some here that have been praying for others to be saved. Maybe family members, maybe neighbors, Lord, but they don't see any results. There's no change. There's no progress. And they're about to give up. But thank you, Holy Spirit, right now in the name of Jesus, that you speak hope into every heart in Jesus' name. Do not let up on lap 6. Not to let go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. There's some that have been persevering in a marriage that doesn't seem to work, Lord. But in the name of Jesus, come against every voice of accusation, every voice of discouragement be canceled in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your promise that what you have joined together, no man will set apart. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for new hope in marriages today. That you will bring the breakthrough, Jesus. You will bring the victory as we, by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we continue to be obedient, as we continue to pursue your will. Thank you for those that have been struggling, maybe wrestling with finances, Lord. And we're tithing and we're giving, we're walking in obedience, but there's something, there's a little voice in the back of our head saying, this is not working. Just cancel that voice now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for grace to continue to be obedient, Lord, to continue to be faithful. We thank you for provision, Lord. We thank you for breakthrough. We thank you for change, Lord, at the perfect time, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for the precious work that you're doing in our hearts as you're preparing us, Lord, as you're molding us, as you're shaping us, Lord. And I trust and I thank you, Lord, right now, Lord, in every heart this morning, that you bring new hope, God, and new endurance, God, new capacity to persevere, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for those that have been trusting for the right life partner. Thank you again, Lord. Thank you that you hear, you know every heart, you hear every prayer. We come against despair, Lord. We come against hopelessness in Jesus' name. And we thank you right now, Holy Spirit, that you, God, we lift every heaviness now in Jesus' name. Thank you that your way is higher than our ways, God, but we know that your timing is perfect. And this morning we humble our hearts, God. We repent of the times that we get discouraged, and we repent of the times that we get impatient, Father. We repent of the times that we want to just run into a different direction after something that's got a temporal reward. We choose today. We choose, Lord, to say, Lord, we submit to your will. We submit to your timing. We choose today, Lord, to say, Lord, we fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for precious fruit. We thank you for fruit that will bring glory to your name. We thank you for a purifying fire that's working so that your name be glorified. Because everything that remains will be glorious, Lord. We'll glorify your name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.